Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And this is Donald Crisp, and I am the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. And it is my privilege to bring the Good News message today. Now, folks, let's think about this. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. And now may God bless our hearing of today's message, and may we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near to His side. My message today is entitled, The Fear of Dying. Allow me to begin this message by speaking to those who are not believers in Jesus Christ, to those who do not have the hope that when you die, that you will go to heaven. Job in the Old Testament raises, I think, a profound and interesting question found in Job 14:14. Here's his question. If a man dies, will he live again? If a man dies, will he live again? Now, in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 9:27 answers that question. And this is what the writer says. It is appointed for each of us to die once, and then the judgment. There you have it. If a man dies, will he live again? And there's the answer. It is appointed for each of us to die, and then the judgment. Jesus also answers the question from John 3:36 when he says, Whoever believes in me will have everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. There you have it. Let me illustrate what Jesus did on the cross for each of us. A boy and his father were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon when a bumblebee flew in the car window. Oh, the little boy was allergic to bee stings. He was petrified. The father quickly reached out, grabbed the bee, squeezed it in his hand, and then released it. The boy grew frantic as the bee buzzed by him. Once again, the father reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to his palm. There, stuck in the skin, was the stinger of the bee. Do you see this, son? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you. Yes, that's the message of the cross. Jesus took the sting for us. He paid the debt that he did not owe to cancel the debt that we could not pay. The Bible says, Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Well, the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. My prayer for those who do not believe is that you would pray right now and ask Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you of all your sins. Ask the one who knows your future and holds your future, ask him to be your Savior and to be your Lord. For those who recognize that you need the Lord, would you pray with me right now to receive the Lord, Father in heaven? I see it now. I see that you took the sting for me. I see that Jesus went to the cross to save me. Come into my life right now, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I want to turn from them and turn from you. I want you to be my Savior and to be Lord of my life, so that one day I'll go home to be with you. Amen. And even as we do go home and to be with the Lord as people who've prayed that prayer, oh, I love that old song. It says that we will meet in the sweet by and by. Let's listen to that being sung from the Victory in Jesus CD. Address my comments to those who do know the Lord, who do know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, as a person of faith, as a person who is trusting Jesus with your future. Let me ask this question. Why is it that many believers are still afraid to die? Have you noticed that most sermons that you hear in church deal with how to live well for Christ? But where are the messages dealing with how to die well for the Lord? Let's be honest. As believers, we usually don't share our fear feelings. Let me say that again. We don't normally share our fear feelings, lest we are judged by other believers or people around us who declare us to be backsliding because we seem to have a lack of faith because we are fearful. They say we're not trusting our Lord. Is that true? I want to speak to that issue today. The fact that we need to, and we do as humanoids, we fear death. Even as we faith death, I would like us to see that what we need to do is to faith death. I will be speaking about death today, thanatos in the Greek. Job is right when he raises the question, if a man dies, will he live again? And Hebrews again answers that question. It is appointed for each of us to die, and then the judgment. Do we hear what that says? Each of us has an appointment with God. We will all stand before the living God, even at whatever time that happens to be in our lives, God knows the time. We will stand before Him and indeed give an account for our lives. Each one of us has that appointment. There was once an undertaker who signed all his letters, eventually yours. You know what? He was right, though. Death eventually comes to all of us. I'm reminded of the story of a doctor who had given his life, worked in the third world country, and he was visited one day by a professor who was doing a research project, writing a book, no doubt, and he met the doctor in the wilderness, and he said, "My friend, tell me, what's the death rate around here?" With a smile on his face, that doctor said, "Same as where I came from and where you came from. One death per person. One death per person." You see, it's an appointment. We will all die. We will all stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives. Statistically speaking, out of every 100,000 people in North America, 88,000 will reach the age of 50 years of age. 70,000 will make it to age 70. And the stats tell us that 17,000 will get to the age of 85. As a matter of fact, it says every hour, 5,417 people die. That's their appointment with God. A recent poll revealed that 89% of people believe in heaven. 73% believe in hell. 3 out of 4 thought that they would go to heaven. Isn't that interesting? How often do we hear folks say at funerals, "Well, at least they're now in a better place"? These words are often spoken about a person who never showed any interest in God or heaven whatsoever. Oh yes, Job says, if a man dies, will he live again? Actually, that word "if" in the Hebrew can also say, because a man dies. Because a man dies, he will live again. Of course, he will live again. The only question is, where will he spend that eternity? Heaven or hell? Folks, I know of no other options. It's either heaven or it's hell. You know, I'm reminded of the inscription on a tombstone in this old graveyard site. And this is what it read. "Remember, man, that passeth by, as thou was now, so once was I. And as I am now, so must thou be. Prepare thyself to follow me." And someone wrote underneath those words, "To follow you I'm not content, until I learned of which way you went." Yes. Heaven or hell, our appointment with God will decide as we stand and we are judged by God. Yes, the fear of dying, as we face dying. And again, I will speak today about facing our dying. Let's turn our attention, first of all, to the fear of dying. Now, there are many reasons for fearing death, but I want to list 5 of them from my counseling experience in 30-plus years. These are the 5, I think, that are the most familiar and common amongst most people. 5 reasons for fearing dying. People have shared with me. First, the unknown. They're afraid of the unknown. What will it be like? What will it look like? Secondly, the fear of being alone. Being alone. Thirdly, the fear of being separated from their loved ones. Fourthly, the sense of hopelessness. I have no control over this. And fifthly, the resignation as they come to that point of seeing that death is unavoidable. Yes, the fear of the unknown, fear of being alone, fear of being separated from loved ones, a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. All of this is unavoidable. Secondly, 3 responses when facing death. Point one is fearing death. Point two is our responses when facing death. I know of many responses, but 3 in particular that I want to place before you today are as follows. Number one, avoidance, ignoring the issue. I believe that this is really a defensive mechanism with many people. Have you noticed many people often will use humor to avoid talking about death? How many people do you know that they won't talk about death? They won't talk about thinking about making plans for their funeral or even having a will? It's incredible how many people avoid this. And often they use humor to explain it when you approach them and talk about it. Reminds me of that story. 3 friends were discussing death, and one asked the group, "What would you like to do? Or what would you like people to say about you when they're at your funeral?" The first guy responded, "Well, I'd like them to say he was a great humanitarian who cared about his community. He was a great guy." The other one said, well, I'd like him to say he was a great husband and a great father, and he was a great golfer. Oh, he was a good sports guy. They both nodded in agreement, and they looked to the third man, who really didn't want to talk about death. And they said, well, what about you? And he said, well, you know, and they said, come on, what would you like them to say at your funeral? He said, well, honestly, I'd like them to say, look, he's moving. Ah, yes. Humor, a defensive mechanism. The fact is, we all have to face death. We all have to face that appointment with God. Avoidance. The second thing in the area of responding is anger or strong emotion. People, when facing death, often say, and I believe it's human to say, why me? Why this? Why now? They could be facing cancer or heart failure or whatever this issue may be. But those questions always come to the forefront. Why me? Why this? Why now? And then because they feel hopeless and helpless, their strong emotion emerges and there's anger. And now here's some practical advice when that happens. Three things from a counseling perspective. Don't repress your feelings. Don't bury them. Don't suppress your feelings. Don't ignore them. And don't express your strong emotion or your anger in unhealthy ways. Folks, no matter what we're going through, we need to look to the one who will go through it with us. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. I want to suggest today that as you go through it all, that Christ goes through it with you. Let's listen to that great song, Through It All, as Salas sings and brings this message to us.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. And I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was His own. And oh, it was
through it all. He's brought me through. If I never had a problem, wouldn't know that He could solve them. Wouldn't know what faith in His word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all.
Three responses when facing death. Avoidance and also anger or strong emotion. As we ask, why me, why this, why now? Thirdly, attitude. Here's the truth, plain and simple. Attitude determines action. You see, our attitude when we are facing death can be one of being resentful. Because we feel hopeless and helpless, we find ourselves again asking, why me, why this, why now? We then begin to nurse it, rehearse it, and curse it. We become so resentful. We resent the doctors. We resent our family. We resent our friends. They all get to live. They're all healthy. What happened? What about me? We begin to resent God. And we're not trusting His plan for our life. Well, That resentful attitude is not one that will help us as we move forward to our appointment with God. And then there's resistance. As we ask, why me, why this, why now, and we feel hopeless, helpless, we also feel humbled. We resist the inevitable. We resist death. We try to focus on other things, but we don't welcome it. We don't look to it. We don't look to meeting our Savior. Yes, we become resentful. We become resistant. And then thirdly, there's rejection. We now feel very alone. We feel abandoned. We feel alienated and isolated. We feel defeated. We feel rejected by a God who isn't hearing our prayers. Oh, how very sad. And then there's an attitude of resignation. Because of feeling resentful and resistant and rejected, we give up. You all met people. I've met people like this. They've just given up. Even though they may have a day to live, they may have a week to live, a month to live, a year to live, or whatever, they've given up. They're not living anymore. They've already died. They just don't really realize it. Oh, when people resign themselves and give up, life really is over, even though their body continues to live. They say it's time to resign, to quit trying, quit fighting. And indeed, I find this to be extremely, very, very sad, as people fear death, even as they face death. My message today, I want to focus on point number three, and that is we need to faith our death. You know, as humans, it's natural to respond or react with fear. It's natural to respond with all those feelings of, with attitude determines action, of feeling resentful and resistant and rejected and having the spirit of resignation. But really what we need to do is embrace our faith, and we need to faith our death. I'm reminded of the man who once walked through a cemetery on his way home one night while unaware that a new grave had been dug in his path, and he fell in. Can you imagine that? And for some time he struggled to get out of that 7-foot grave, but he finally gave up and he settled down for the night. He knew someone would come by in the morning. About an hour later, a farmer, I guess he was out possum hunting or something, he came walking through the cemetery, and he too fell in that same grave. He began a desperate attempt to get out, yelling and screaming and trying to claw his way out. And then he just finally resigned himself to the fact, what can I do? Unaware that there was actually someone else in the grave with him. The first man listened, and then after a few moments, he reached out his hand in the pitch darkness, laid his hand on this farmer's shoulder, and he said, friend, you can't get out of here. Can you imagine? Actually, the moral of the story is, he did get out. It's amazing what we can do when we're in panic mode. Folks, I said at the beginning of the message, let me say this again. We need to choose to live well, but we also need to choose to die well. We need to, by faith, trust the one who knows our future and holds our future. We need to trust him to deliver us into our future, to deliver us home into the land of the living. I love the way the psalmist writes this. In Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And I am confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, that's the way to face death. That's the way to faith death. Intentionally looking to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? Not in the land of the dying, but in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord, the one who can take you and will take you to that land of the living. Would you take a moment and pray with me as we consider what we've heard this day? Father, we give you thanks for this message, and like the psalmist wrote, we want to faith our future. We want to faith even our death. We want to look beyond life on planet Earth. Actually, this on planet Earth is really the land of the dying. We want to go to the land of the living, and we know that that appointment is coming whenever it comes. Maybe today, it may be years to come, but whenever it comes, we want to be ready. And so, therefore, we give you thanks, Father, for holding our future and planning our future. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for dying for us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Folks, now in conclusion, I want to thank you for your prayerful encouragement and your God-led financial support of this radio ministry. You need to know that your faithful prayers and gracious giving empowers and enables this ministry to deliver God's good news message on the air. Dr. Churchill and I want to thank you for being part of this radio ministry team. The truth is, we can't do this without you. Let me encourage you and challenge you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries. Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KLG 1WO. Mark the check, Good News Broadcast, and we will send you a receipt at income tax time. I also want to add that neither Dr. Churchill and I receive money for this radio program, nor honorarium. Everything goes to the ministry itself. Now a personal note. If this radio ministry is impacting your time, perhaps you have prayed and received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you have recommitted your life to Christ. Perhaps these messages are a real encouragement to you. If this is true, then we want to join you in thanking God. Now I would ask you to write and share your story with us. We would be thrilled to hear what God is doing in your life. You can email me at doncrisp@hotmail.com. That's doncrisp@hotmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this program each Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on CFRA, that is 580 a.m., or on Rogers Cable, 927, or still online at cfra.com. Or during the week, you can go on our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on Broadcast. Folks, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles and precepts and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Oh, God, show us how to live well and even die well. Now, as we conclude today's program, here is Ricky Van Shelden singing Mansion Over the Hilltop. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, truth, and love. Amen.
I'm satisfied with just the kindness below a little
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.